Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Jay Suggs, founder of Success Consulting, leadership consultant, speaker, and soon-to-be author, whose life story bridges business, resilience, and purpose. Jay's journey started in sales and executive leadership at companies like MCI and Johnson Controls, where he learned firsthand how people and culture drive success. Now, through Success Coaching, he helps leaders discover their authentic voice and lead with confidence and integrity. His upcoming book, inspired by the powerful sayings of his grandmother, distills timeless lessons of life and leadership, and he lives those values daily through his service as second vice chair on the board of Children's Aid and Family Services, where he champions inclusion, belonging, and human dignity. Jay, welcome up to Growing Up B2B.
Oh, Ed, thank you for having me, and that was a heck of an intro, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, let's get right into it. You've had a really remarkable professional journey from early sales roles to executive leadership. But let me ask you, what drew you to the world of leadership development and coaching?
It's interesting. When I started Success Consulting, it's where leadership meets transition. It's a space that I created for leaders and organization navigating change, whether it's identity, purpose, or growth. We help find clarity in chaos and conviction and uncertainty. As I continue my leadership journey, I realized that behind the title, behind the role, behind the targets and the quotas and the revenue and the P&L, there lies the person. And it's really a self-audit to ensure that your output is resonating with the people that are under your charge. And that's what leadership and transition is all about. It's leading from your core, not your comfort zone.
Interesting. Looking back, and you've had a considerable career in corporate. You had some big jobs. What lessons from that time have filtrated to the work you're doing with clients today?
Leadership is a mirror, right? I believe leadership is about getting everyone rallying behind a single thought to make things happen. And how do you do that? It's really about that internal audit that I mentioned. I believe that throughout my journey, the more soulful, impactful lessons wasn't really about what we generated, what was accomplished, but it was really about where I met people, right? Leading from kindness, leading from empathy, understanding that not everyone is cut from the same cloth, understanding that everyone has a different experience, different lens, different upbringing, even a different perspective on their self and their value and their worth. So when you're leading, you're not just leading an initiative or an effort, you're helping that individual come full circle understanding what their superpower is. That's leadership in a nutshell. And speaking of my grandmother, she was a force of nature, right? No titles, just pure wisdom. She found me and my sister in the child service system and decided these are my babies. She believed that leadership started in a mirror, and she taught me accountability, resilience, grace, before I even knew what those words were. You know what I mean? She was a self-help guru before it was a thing.
So where do you think that came from in her? That's pretty remarkable. And you've spoken about your grandmother extensively, but what was it about her that had that in her to deliver that way and to have that impact on you?
Oh, it's interesting, man. It's two words that come to mind: relentless conviction, right? Okay. I think she understood that she was very accountable about her shortcomings and limitations, but she didn't use them as a crutch. And I believe her family, her children, I believe that instilling her legacy was her fuel. My grandmother wasn't perfect. She wasn't always warm and fuzzy. But one thing that she taught me, and one thing that I saw growing up within her, was accountability. And that's why when you think of like business owners, family-owned businesses, founders, startups, corporation, when you think about leadership, the fuel in the engine is accountability. It's not what you're driving. It's not what you're producing. It's not what you're pushing for. It's holding yourself accountable, not to say you're doing something wrong or you're incompetent, but holding yourself accountable and understanding, okay, there's gaps of opportunity for me to grow here. Okay, maybe I pivot here. Okay, maybe I meet this person exactly where they are. Or how about I just listen? So, what I learned from my grandmother was self-accountability.
Nice. You've often talked about, and I want to touch on this before I get back to your grandmother, because I got more questions about grandma. You've often talked about, and I think you were touching on it before, about this idea of leaders finding their voice. And I really want to dig on that a little bit deeper because, again, when we bring this back around to the family business experience, I'm a second generation. A lot of my leadership style initially came from my dad. That's where I learned it from. And guess what? As a second gen, you can't lead like a first gen. And I found that the hard way. Somebody asked me, what happened? How did you know it wasn't working? I was like, very easily. People started to quit.
That
Like, oh,
was
I
the
was beating
data. That was the data. That was the metrics. I get it. No, I get
them.
it.
When you bring it back around to maybe it's a second gen or third gen, who's basically heavily influenced by that previous generation, how do you dig deep and help them find that authentic voice within themselves?
It's interesting. It's first and foremost, it's not a big event. You're not going to have an aha moment, right? So just like you, when I started in corporate America, I thought I had to be the boss that sit in the corner office, in the mysterious corner office with the door closed and not approachable, because that's what I saw. That's what I saw coming up in business. I was supposed to be non-approachable, mysterious in this corner office. But what I realized was that there was a disconnect. There's this term called imposter syndrome. Everybody uses it, right? Everybody says it. But imposter syndrome to me, it's not a bad thing. What it is a signal. It's telling you that you're not being your authentic self. When I talk to clients and leaders and they say, Jay, I'm suffering from imposter syndrome, I go, no, you're not suffering from imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is telling you that you're not fully being your authentic self. So you got to ask yourself a series of questions to get there. So back to your question, when you say, how do you dig deep? How do you find true meaning of yourself and be authentic? Number one, you got to realize that something's off. So you got to tell yourself the truth. Number two, you got to ask yourself a series of hard questions. Who am I when no one's watching? What am I afraid of if someone sees me really being me? How do people feel when I'm in the room? Do I elevate others to be better based on my presence? It's questions like that that you get to the true, authentic understanding of your leadership style. Now, all of us mimic someone in the beginning, and that's fine. I call that a benchmark, training wheels, whatever you want to call it. But eventually, you're going to soon be faced with yourself. Because if you're not real and authentic, it doesn't resonate to the people that you have to lead. They'll sense something off. They'll even have water cooler talk and go, what's wrong with that guy? Because they're not sensing the real person. So you got to be honest with yourself. You got to realize that there are moments and events that maybe you're not fully showing up as yourself. And you got to ask yourself some serious, hard questions and empowering questions. What do I want people to learn and feel about me? What about my leadership that I want to make results and I also want to make impact as well?
And this, all of what you just said is huge because I'm sure you've encountered this in your practice. I certainly have. There's the person inside, and then there's the person that they are portraying.
Oh, yeah.
And I see this a lot around the context of growth, whereas a leader is talking about growth, once you peel back the layers, they're actually terrified of that growth, terrified of the thing that they profess to want. And that's tricky.
Listen, Ed, growth is an uncomfortable process, but on the other side of growth, though, is boundless opportunities.
Yes.
My grandmother used to say, if it scares me, it may be right for me. When she used to say this, Ed, I thought the lady was crazy. What do you mean if it scares me, it may be right for me? But I will say this day, anything I've ever done that made me nervous was the best decision I ever made for my career and my personal life, right? We're not supposed to live a life of being just comfortable. We have to challenge ourselves to see what's on the other side because that person that we are inside is there. We just have to unleash it by doing incremental steps. I tell people all the time, it's not a big event. It's not a big bang. It's not a big announcement. It's incremental steps to get you there. I have this exercise that I work with leaders with. It's a simple exercise. I tell them to take out a blank piece of paper. On a blank piece of paper, draw a line. And on the beginning of that line, start writing down where you started all the way to where you are currently. So past state, current state, and where you want to go, future state. As you continue this exercise, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to say, wow, I came a long way. I did that. I can't believe I did that. Number two, energetically, you're going to go, wow, even though I'm in tunnel vision and I'm grinding and I'm trying to figure it out, I started here and now look where I'm at. I always tell clients to do that exercise because sometimes we don't pause enough to realize how far we've come. I tell people all the time, you're doing better than you think you are. You're doing better than you think you are. There's a beginning, and then there's a current state, and then there's a future state. But I also tell my clients, don't future trip. What I mean by that is you're so worried about what the future is going to be that you're not even embracing and reveling what the present is and the amazing things that you're doing in the present. Right? The future is the future. You're never going to know. But I can tell you this, if you focus on the present, the future looks bright.
You're preaching to the choir there. I'm one of those future living in the future, living 6 months ahead. And I had to instill a discipline. So on our Monday morning meetings, forced myself to always reflect back and thank the team and thank them for the wins we've had. My takeaway was like, make sure you celebrate the wins along the way. It's about the journey, not the end result. And so quick, especially in our industry, which can be very fast paced, it's coming at us. Sometimes we forget, let's celebrate the wins. So every Monday morning, we're going to celebrate a few wins. We're going to talk about the last week and what we did that was really good, and typically call out a few team members for doing some great stuff.
I love that because leadership taught me that it isn't about power. There is no power. It's about presence. I've learned that people don't care how much authority you have, they care how much you see them. My definition of leadership was born from survival, not structure. My grandmother was a force in nature. Her presence showed me that she cared about me, that she wanted the best for me. It really wasn't about directives, it was about direction. And as leaders, sometimes I think we get the two mixed up. I work with leaders that say, I don't understand. I'm giving out these directives, I'm giving clear expectations. And I say, yeah, that sounds like a task. But what's the feeling behind those directives? Where's the direction? Can you tell me any employee that looks at your expectations know the feeling behind what you're thinking? That's why I always tell leaders, you gotta have a mantra. Gotta have a mantra. In my old leading sales teams, I used to say, we all eat. What I meant by that is together, collaboratively, for the betterment of the company and the betterment of our customers, we will work together and we will feed our families. We all eat.
So one of the things that I love about some of the messages that you deliver as spoken through your grandmother is the beautiful simplicity of them. These aren't big, complex ideas, but the elegance is in their simplicity because certainly in our world, it's not about how complex you can be, it's how good you can be at taking something complex and delivering it with simplicity, which I think is a lot of what her power came from. So one of the lines that I just love that she said, and you've referenced this before, is you can be a leader or a loser, but not both. So you decide. Talk about that for a little bit and talk about how, to what extent that impacts how you or how you even would coach others.
Yeah, when she told me that, just to make a long story bearable, my first job was at a very world-renowned pancake house. And I had dreams of being a waiter, like on the teen movies, like 16 Candles and those type of movies. I had this dream that I was going to be like this waiter, charismatic and serving people. And I remember the first day I showed up to the job, the manager goes, "We got the most important job for you. You're gonna bus tables." I was like, bus tables? That's not fun, right? That's not, I can't be charismatic and energetic and do those things, bussing tables. I don't wanna do this. I go home, I tell my grandmother, I'm 15 years old, and I tell her, and I said, Nana, they want me to bus tables. I should be a host, I should be a waiter. And she looks me dead in my eye and was like, you can be a leader or a loser, but you can't be both. And I was like, what? But now that I look back and I think about my clients and my career, leadership starts from within. You have to lead yourself. You have to create your guiding principles, your core values, right? If you can't lead anyone, if you don't lead yourself, I ask leaders all the time, what do you do to fill up your cup? What do you do to stay grounded? What do you do to stay centered? What do you do to sharpen your skills? What books are you reading to understand different layers of leaderships and lens and perspective so you can become better to lead your people? And the funny thing is, the answers I get is always, I don't have enough time, or I got deadlines and crunching, and when do I have time for that? So leading, being a leader or a loser, is literally leading from within and leading by your own discipline and your own focus. You can't be a loser if you're a leader. You only can be one or the other.
And I think that was the piece that really impacted me, because I've heard that before, and it's said many ways. You can be a victor or a victim in this scenario. But this whole idea, you can't be both. You can't be both. So you have to decide in the moment, what are you going to be? And I think that's really what just resonated with me about that expression. And I love it. And I've reflected on it several times since I heard you say it.
You know what's interesting? There are some mornings that are hard, right? I'm a leader. You're a leader, Ed, right? And there's some mornings as you're drinking your coffee and you're getting ready for your day, the whispers of doubt seeps in. I hear her voice telling me that, and I shake right out of it. You're a leader or a loser, but son, you can't be both. And I go, it's time to lead.
And the other point that you brought out in that was this idea of lifelong learning and making the time to learn and better yourself. And I've certainly seen that. I think we all feel like we don't make enough time for learning, and it's a discipline, right? Just like anything else, it's a discipline. I have a good friend who I think his business was around 4 million like 3 years ago. Now it's heading towards 15, and I see this fellow basically every day. He has a discipline of reading every morning something new, and it's not like one book. He's usually got four books going on. There's something to that. He's learning at an
Absolutely.
accelerated rate, and he's bringing that into his operation, and great things are happening at an accelerated rate. So there's something huge to be said for being a lifelong student, I would say.
You're always evolving, right? I have a practice I do every day. And when I used to tell people this practice, they thought I was coming from vanity, but I wasn't. I look in the mirror and I say, Jermaine, that's my full name, right? I say, I love you. People are like, what? You tell yourself you love yourself? I'm like, absolutely. Because my worth is not tied by what I do, it's tied to who I am. So every morning I look in the mirror and I say, I love you, right? I love myself. I love my purpose. I love what I'm responsible for. There are so many leaders right now that are voiceless. There's so many changes leaders got to deal with. The economy, lack of resources, promotions, new bosses, layoffs, and the list goes on. But the ultimate goal is through all that transition is not to lose yourself. You are not what you do. Behind that title and that role and the responsibility, there lies the person. So I always ask leaders, what do you do to fill up your cup? For me, it's a cup of espresso, looking outside the window, looking over the Hudson, and just being still and grateful. I always ask in my meetings, I say, hey, what are you grateful for? Because gratitude is the anchor of all perspective. You're having a down day and things are not going right and you're complaining, do 2 minutes of gratitude. It'll shake it off. It'll shake it off. And also, when you feel like you're suffering or you feel like you're struggling, go help somebody. The feeling will go away. Go help somebody. Go serve. It'll go away. Listen, leadership is not a position. It's not a program. It's not a package. It is a human dynamic. Human dynamic, right? If the leader's down, it shows. If the leader's indecisive, it shows. If the leader, let's just say, is confused, it shows. But it's important to be human. It's okay to tell your team, I don't know the answer, but I'll get back to you. It's important to tell your team, you know what? I dropped the ball on that one. It's okay to tell your team, I'm having one of those days, team, where everything is just not aligning. Give me a minute. I'm gonna get back to it.
I just did that today, man. I pulled an employee in. I said, "Hey, I was short with you yesterday. I had a lot of things going on, and I didn't mean to be that way. And I apologized." And he was totally cool with it. And he said, "It's okay. I understand."
But Ed, what you just said though is powerful. You know why? Somebody asked me the other day, what makes a good leader? And this person just started naming all these buzzwords. I was like, no, awareness. And they looked at me, awareness. I was like, yeah, awareness. Right? Ed, you noticed that you were short with an employee the other day and you apologized. Awareness. Do you understand that you made that individual be seen and valued just by being transparent with them? Because we're human.
It sounds a lot cooler when you talk about
Oh no, but
it.
no, but think about it, Ed. We are human, right? I want to be led by someone I can resonate with. I want to be led by someone who I feel understands the plight. Listen, I always say that COVID did a couple of things. COVID taught leaders they had to lead and not manage anymore. To me, the day of the manager is gone. You just got to be a leader in every sense of the word. It also taught us that when the epidemic hit, we were all going through the same stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't exempt. People were losing people in their families and
Oh,
friends.
yeah.
All parents had to be these quasi teachers. We all felt isolated. The world stopped. But the one thing I realized is that the leader had to rise. The leader had to say, "How are you doing today? Are you
Absolutely.
okay? Take as much time as you need." The manager had to become a leader, and the leader had to lead from a human point of view.
Yeah, and it's a bit rear view, but not that rear view, where there was a lot of fear in the air, man. I felt it. I was there. I was like, I really thought the sky was falling and we were all gonna die. And then the next day the sun rose and I'm like, okay.
Right. My grandmother always used to say, even through the most horrible storms, the sun eventually comes out. And listen, even during that time, when I discussed this topic, it wasn't about pretending you were okay. What it was about leading through challenging times is leading as a human being, which you'll be surprised a lot of leaders struggle with. They
Yeah.
hide behind the responsibilities, they hide behind the role itself. They create this persona that is not engaging enough to understand what people are at in their time and their status or whatever the position they're in or what their job responsibilities are. Being a leader is the most human interactive thing you have to do day in and day out. And when I say leader, I'm not just talking about B2B and family owned and corporate America. You got to lead your family. You got to lead as a parent. You got to
Yeah.
lead as a, if you got older parents, you got to lead and be their caretaker. Leadership is a principle that's embedded in every facet of life. When I talk to future leaders and they say, I go, okay, why do you want to get into leadership? And they go, I want to make more money. Conversation's done. It's over. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you. Pleasure meeting you. Because leadership is a serving role. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to do with you. It's a serving role.
Reminds me of a story when I was midway through the buyout of the business, having a really bad day. And I call up my older brother, who was very successful. And I said, I don't know why I went down this path. I don't know why I'm buying this business. I don't know what I'm doing here. I think I'm just messing up left and right. And so he said, Ed, why did you agree to buy dad's business? And I said,
Great question.
I was all pissed off. I'm like, to make more money. And then his response was, Jay, he goes, you were stupid. So I'm like, what's that now? And he said, if you really were interested in money, you should have gotten into finance, financial advisory, banking. That's where the money is. It's not in marketing. He said, maybe you did it, Ed, because you love it and you have a passion for it. And you're pretty darn good at it. Maybe that's why you did it. And he brought me back to center and said, yeah, it's really not about the money. It's about doing what you love and creating something special through that leadership and through that passion.
Yeah, listen, when I started Success Consulting, it wasn't about money because I did very well in my other life. I would say, and I tell anybody this, eventually, who you're supposed to be and who you're pretending to be will come head to head, and you will have to make a decision on who you want the world to see.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to say to me, JJ, the world will believe in you just as much as you believe in yourself. Whatever we want the world to see of us, that's what we show. But if you believe in yourself and you have conviction, then people won't doubt who you are. So when I took the leap, I know I wanted to help leaders. I wanted them to find a voice. I wanted to help build high-performing teams. I know what it is to be a leader and still feel lost. When I became an executive, Ed, everyone was high-fiving me. I was getting all these celebratory messaging. I felt empty inside.
Wow.
And I kept asking myself, what is wrong? I'm a kid from the hood. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. And I am now the global director of diversity and equity and inclusion, and I feel nothing. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with me? And then I realized that my worth, my purpose is not tied by anyone else's expectations. It's tied by my internal compass of how I want to contribute to the world. I am in a space now where I can help leaders in transition that I was in transition, when I had that moment where I felt empty. People say to me all the time, "Jay, I think it's time for me to lead this company or do something else." And I said, "Listen, if you don't change your habits and if you don't change your behaviors, the only thing that changes is the name outside of the building. So you need to do your self audit before you do anything." Most people leave jobs because they say it's more money or they're not happy. But what it really is that they don't know who they are, Ed. You're looking for this external validation. You're looking for this other company or this $10,000 more salary to make you feel whole. Guess what? It won't. Whenever I had employees come to me and say, "Yeah, Jay, this is my 2 weeks," I would go, "Are you sure? Yeah, are you going to counter?" "No, I'm not going to counter, but are you sure?" "Not countering, no, but are you sure?" "Yeah, it's this much money." And I would go, "Okay." I would decode it. I was like, "Well, after taxes, what is that?" And then they would go, "Wow, that's not really." I was like, "All I'm asking you to do is ask yourself really why you're leaving. If it's not elevation, if it's not upward mobility, if it's not going to change your life substantially, maybe you do the inner work and then see what happens."
Yeah, that's a hard ask, man. For some people, that's a hard ask.
Oh yeah, it's a horrible process. It's not horrible process. It's a process that makes you feel like crap. You're asking these brutally honest questions. Listen, when I decided to do success consulting, I was the height of my career. I love those bonuses. I'm not gonna lie. I love those. What a bonus in a quarter? What? I loved it. But at the same time, I just said this to a group of entrepreneurs. I said, "There's a discomfort to freedom. No more guarantees, no more safety net. But let me tell you, I have something that is mining and I'm helping other leaders going through things that I've been through." And for that, man, I think I'm living a purpose-driven life. I think that is the life Sally Suggs wanted me to live.
And speaking of, we touched on service, and you've been open about your roots, being in the child services system as a kid with you, I believe, and your sister as well. And that's how your grandmother found you and then
Yeah.
raised you. Now, coming full circle, you serve as second vice chair of the Board of Children's Aid and Family Services, which is the roots of the very same organization that once reunited you with your family, if I'm not mistaken.
It's like I'm reunited with my grandmother in spirit, right? Every time I walk into a meeting, I see her. I see the kid of who I could have been. It's personal. It's a purpose in action. And to be on the board of an organization that does amazing things and help families in every walks of life, I tell you, it makes my heart sing. It gives me a real warm feeling inside. And I would tell any business owner, leader, if you're struggling in your day-to-day, serve outside of it. And it'll remind you of why you do what you do. I like to say I'm using my superpowers for good now.
That's a great point. And knowing a little bit about that organization, the work they do, there's a whole world, Jay, that most of us are never exposed to.
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
just, and it's not always a pretty world. It's not always pretty. Sometimes there's moments where it can be, when there's the right match made and someone comes out into adoption and has a, but a lot of times it's a dark place that most of us on a day to day are just never even exposed to, but it's there. And it's really great work that they do there. And it's great that you're supporting that organization now, with the perspective you have of really coming full circle in many respects. That's awesome.
I felt like I was in two worlds, right? I was in this corporate world where everything was a system and a structure. And listen, the expectation was plain and simple. You got to hit your number or else, right? But I think when you work with a nonprofit like Children Aid and Family Services, I think you're making an impact, you're moving the needle, and you're helping. I wanted to stress that to your audience. I don't care what you do during the day. You could be a day trader, a B2B owner, a family-owned business, corporate raider, whatever it is, use those gifts and skills to help the less vulnerable population.
That's great. That's a great takeaway too. Obviously, your grandmother's sayings are hugely impactful and they're becoming the foundation for your upcoming book. So, without sharing too much about the upcoming book, maybe you can offer up one anecdote that you think our listeners would benefit from.
Yeah, listen, the book Relentless Conviction, that's the working title. We're in the draft phase right now. It'll be available fall 2026. My grandmother's anchored throughout the book. It's all her sayings, but applying it to leadership principles. One of my favorite sayings that she says, that I still use, I use with my own kid, is if you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, you light it up yourself. And she would say that, and I would get so, it was like being at a Giants game. I would get so amped when I would overhear her say that. And what it means is literally, you are the instrument of change for yourself. Somebody asked me the other day, what's the difference between a high performer and an okay performer? And I said, an okay performer would see a roadblock and go, why is it there? And say, oh my God, why is it there? I don't want it there. I wish it wasn't there. I said, a high performer would see that same roadblock, go over it, under it, over it, and through it. Don't ask questions because they're going to get to the other side. And so when I think about the book and the principles and how it ties to it, it's literally giving leaders a lens and a different perspective. And then I have reflective exercises in the book as well, right? It's not just me writing. It's semi-autobiographical, but not really. But it's really about reflective exercises for any leader at any stage in their career to ask themselves and do an exercise and understand that everything we do is a mirror, everything.
That's great. And we're certainly going to look for that release and let our audiences know when it's out. I have to ask you this because it's something that I've struggled with. So when my son was younger, he was a very good baseball player and I was a coach. And they said, yeah, you got to coach this team. I'm like, okay. And I played baseball, so I knew how to play, but then I'm standing there as the coach and I'm like, okay, what do I do? Coming to that realization that, all right, I knew how to do it, but I had no idea how to teach it, let alone how to teach it to a bunch of 8 and 9 year olds. In your journey, Jay, you've gone from one who is the leader leading to now teaching leaders leadership. Talk about that for a minute. What did you have to do? What was the hardest thing for you to make that transition?
I realize that influence is not about being the loudest, it's about being the clearest. So when your message comes from authenticity, you don't have to chase attention. It comes to you, it finds you. I'd like to consider myself more of a connector. So when I was talking to leaders, when I talk to leaders now, it's not really a, it's a, it's, I call it the mirror, the shift, and the movement, right? The first thing we're going to do is you're going to, not me, but you're going to get brutally honest about yourself, right? If leadership disappeared tomorrow, what would people say about you, your leadership? The results, the impact, or would they be relieved? When I ask leaders that, they go, oh man, I think it's the third part that they would be relieved. And I was like, then we got work to do, my friend. Think about it. And listen, here's the thing about that question. When I am coaching leaders, there's no wrong or right answer. It's really about where you are and how you see yourself and how others perceive you as a leader. So the mirror, let's ask some reflective questions. Then the shift. Okay, how do I go from, okay, I'm aware now into putting these practices into principles? And then the movement. How do I incrementally implement the new things that I've discovered about myself? And they're really not new. You're just uncovering who you were before you got the title.
And the first step, I think, is always establishing that awareness. But then the hard work comes from the implementation, the execution.
Always, always. In any parts of business and life, it's always about the execution. When I tell people is, and you'll hear me say this all the time, whatever you start, anything new that you start or a discipline or a new effort, incremental steps. But take the step though. It's not going to be pretty, it's not going to be perfect, but take the step.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you fall down, you got to have that fortitude to get back up again, and
You got to be resilient, but you're not taking the step for perfection. You're taking the step because you're getting closer to growth. And
for
growth is
sure.
not easy. It's an uncomfortable process.
A lot of this podcast, a big area of focus, of course, is legacy. In many cases, we're talking to folks that are second, third. We even had a seventh generation individual in their organization, if you can believe that.
Wow.
Legacy is
Congrats.
definitely an important part of what's discussed on this program. So when we bring that back around to you, you've already done so much and clearly you've got the juice to do a lot more. But talking about legacy and thinking about legacy and your grandmother's wisdom, what kind of impact do you hope that your work and the future book will leave behind? What kind of mark do you wish to make? And what will your legacy be, Jay?
That's a great question, by the way, Ed. I think leadership is rooted in conviction. It can change families, companies, communities. I want people to remember that you can come from brokenness and still lead with purpose. That's the legacy of what Sally Suggs built, and I'm just continuing it.
Awesome. So, last question for you. If any of our listeners wanted to connect with you personally or learn more about success coaching, what's the best way for them to connect?
You can go on my website, www.iamjsuggs.com. You can search Jay Suggs on LinkedIn. I'm there. And then I have a TikTok at IamJSuggs on TikTok. I also have a YouTube channel at Jay Suggs.
Awesome. And I would encourage our listeners to check all that out because Jay also drops a lot of great anecdotes along the way, some great life lessons, and he's very, very giving of his knowledge and expertise. So please do check him out. Jay, your story is a powerful example of how leadership is both personal and generational, and how the lessons we inherit can shape the leaders we become. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your
Oh, Ed, thank
grandmother's
you for
wisdom.
having me. Thank you for
Awesome.
having me.
Awesome. So again, we've been speaking with Jay Suggs of Success Consulting, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. And this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for listening in, and we'll see you next time. Jay, thank you so much for being with us. This was awesome.
Thank you, Ed.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.